would help us to have listening ears and to be attentive, Lord. There's so much that goes on throughout the week, and so many things we could be distracted with. But Lord, help us to just live in the moment, live right now, and to be able to just be here where we're supposed to be, Father. Help me not to be distracted. Help me to preach with your power and your boldness, to say the things you would have me to say, that your Holy Spirit would come upon me, Father, and that we would grow tonight, and that we would learn something from your word tonight. In precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter 31. And as you know, we've been preaching through a series on Sunday nights about the family. And we've been preaching through the roles of certain roles that men and women play in the family. We talked about the role of a husband. We preached about the role of a wife. We preached about the role of a father. And tonight we're preaching on the subject of the role of a mother. And really what we're doing is we're studying the Bible and showing you how a mother could fulfill her biblical role by taking guidance from God's Word. And there in Proverbs 31, that's one of the most famous proverbs in the Bible. Very beautiful part of Scripture there. In Proverbs 31, if you look at verse 1, it says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Now, we don't know this for sure, but we're told that Proverbs 31, as you know, most of the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon. And we're told that Proverbs 31 was actually written to King Solomon from his mother, who we know is Bathsheba. Now Bathsheba, if you've read about King David, you remember that King David committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, who was already married. And King David had her husband put to death and lied about that. And God, judged them there, and they caused a child to die. But he eventually married Bathsheba. And then God gave them another son, and that son's name was Solomon. And we're told that Proverbs 31 was written by Bathsheba to her husband, son Solomon. If you look at verse 1, though, it says the words of King Lemuel. I can't tell you for sure. I mean, I could show you a lot of things that different people say. It doesn't really matter. God's word is good. Amen. But, we're told she refers to him as Lemuel. So I've heard people say that that's like a nickname that he had. I don't know if that's true. Sounds like an odd nickname to me. You know, come here, little Lemuel. You know, I don't know. Maybe it means something cute in Hebrew. I don't know. But this is a mother, nonetheless. And really, in verse 1, we find the first role, and this is just by way of introduction, but we find the first role of a mother, it's this. Look what it says. The words of King Lemuel, and this is what he says. He says, this is King Lemuel wrote these words, but he said, "I wrote this because this is the prophecy that his mother taught him." And that's really the first thing we should take from this is this. Mom, your job is to teach your children. Your job is to teach your children. He says the prophecy that his mother taught him. Go real quickly to Proverbs 1, verse 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8. And I guess we're just going to be in Proverbs a lot this Sunday because we're in it a lot this morning. But Proverbs 1, 8. Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs 1, 8. The Bible says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father." And notice what it says, though. I know we spent time on this last week. Dad, it's your job to teach your kids. But guess what? Mom, it's your job too. It says, "My son, hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Forsake not the law of thy mother. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Look at verse 20. Proverbs chapter number 6. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother." You find in Scripture that God expects mom to be teaching their children law and prophecy and doctrine and how to live. And here we find a mother teaching her son some very good qualities as to how he ought to behave himself as a king. Now, I'm not going to deal with the first part of the passage because we're dealing with the role of a mother. But starting in verse number 10, mom, it's a beautiful picture, really. This mother here begins to instruct her son, and he's explaining to her son the kind of woman that he should marry. He's saying, "Son, this is the kind of woman you want to be married to. This is the kind of woman you want to have children with, because this is the kind of woman that's going to be very helpful and very productive in your life." Notice what it says in verse 10. He says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? for her price is far above rubies. And she begins to explain what is referred to in Proverbs 31 as the virtuous woman. And I just want to give you real quick a few points in regards to... I said that this morning. I preached for an hour and 15 minutes. So don't, you know, let that... Don't get excited about that. We're going to be a while probably. But go to... I'd like to just give you just a few points in this chapter as to what makes a good mother, according to the Bible. What makes a good mother? Number one, a good mother is a good wife. A good mother is a good wife. You cannot be a good wife and not be a good mother. Well, let me rephrase that. You cannot be a good mother without being a good wife. Look at what it says in verse 11. The Bible says, the heart of her husband, talking about this virtuous woman, doth safely trust in her. See, we begin to really talk about a mother and a woman in the home, but she begins by saying this. If you're going to be a virtuous woman, your husband is going to be able to trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Look at verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. If you're going to be a good mother, you're going to have to be a good wife. And to be a good wife, you're going to have to be the type of wife that actually does your husband good as opposed to evil. That actually helps your husband versus is an obstacle to your husband. Remember, we're not going to go there. But remember we saw recently in Genesis 2 where the Bible tells us that the reason that the woman was created was to be a help meet for her husband. And this is what the virtuous woman is. Verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. To be a good mother, you've got to be a good wife. Go real quickly. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit in Proverbs 31. But I'd like you to look at this. Go to Proverbs 31. Look at verse 23. Proverbs 31 and look at verse number 23. Proverbs 31:23 says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Now you got to understand, in Bible times, the gates of the city was where all the business of the city was conducted. The men who sat at the gate were leaders in that area. You were not just allowed to go sit at the gate and hang out. Sitting at the gate would be like being in City Hall or something. That's where the men who were leaders, who were in charge, who were looked upon as honorable men, as wealthy men, they would sit at the gate and they would conduct the business of the leader. And the Bible says in verse 23 that the virtuous woman's husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. What does that tell us? It does this. She has a very successful husband. But the Bible tells us that the reason her husband is successful, because in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. To be a good mother, you're going to have to be a good wife. And to be a good wife, you're going to have to be a helpmeet. You have to do good to your husband. Help him. Not be an obstacle to him. Not be, always, talking down to him. Always, being the problem as opposed to being a help. A good wife will make a good mother. And you will never be a good mother when you're not a good wife. Now, let me explain something, because in the society we live in, sometimes people, misunderstand words. Because today we've got a whole society filled of single mothers who have been left by their husbands or left or just, gone through divorce or whatever, and they're raising children on their own. So you say, well, how can you be a good wife while still being a good mother? You know that you can still be a good wife even when you're separated? The Bible tells us that when you're married forever. So even if you're not living with your husband, you're still the wife of that person. And if you're going to be a good mother, you're going to have to be a good wife. Let me tell you something. Today we have, and I'm saying this because it's so prevalent in our society. Today we've got these women's lib movement that have taught young women and grown up to be adult women today who sit there and badmouth their husbands, badmouth their, the father of their children, or vice versa, the father's badmouth the wife, or the mother of their children. When they get divorced and they separate and they sit there, let me tell you something, that's not healthy. That's not good. We ought not be the type of people, you're still a wife and you're still, you say, well, I'm divorced. You're still a husband. You're still a father. And let me tell you something, sir, when your kids, you have your kids every other weekend or whatever it is, you better not sit there and badmouth those kids' mother. The Bible tells us that our job is to teach our children to honor their father and their mother. And I don't know how you plan on teaching your children to honor their mother when you badmouth their mother every chance you get. How are you going to teach your children You must be a good wife or you will never be a good mother. Amen. Period. Amen. Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoils. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I don't care what the women's lib movement says. Honor your husband. Honor your wife. Even if you're separated. Even if you're not. Even if they did whatever they did to you. Nobody forced you to have children with that person. Raise your children to honor their father and their mother. Say their father's a scumbag. Their mother's a blah, whatever. It doesn't matter. You've got to be a good wife. You've got to be a good husband, or you'll never be a good father. You'll never be a good... It works both ways. Number two, look at verse number 13. The Bible says in verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. The Bible is describing for us a virtuous woman throughout these verses here. And the Bible says she, referring to the virtuous woman, seeketh wool and flax. I want you to notice these words, highlight them or underline them if you like to do that in your Bible. And I like these words. Worketh willingly with her hand. Let me tell you something. A good mother is going to be a hard worker. A good mother is going to be a hard worker. The Bible says she worketh willingly with her hands. Skip down to verse number 17 of the same chapter. Look what it says. Verse 17 says, she girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Look what it says. Notice this. This is a good mother, according to the Bible. This is a virtuous woman, according to the Bible. Look what it says. Her candle goeth not out by night. You know what that means? It means she stays up late. It means she stays up late doing housework. That means she stays up late taking care of her children's lunches. Her husband's lunches. Whatever it is. The Bible says, to be a virtuous woman, her candle goeth not out by night. It gets even worse than that. Keep reading. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth her hands to the needy. Skip down to verse 24. Look what it says. She maketh fine linen. You see that? She's making things. She's producing things. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto merchandise. Look down at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not, look what it says, the bread of idleness. You know what the word idle means? You ever put a vehicle in idle? What do you do when you're in idle? You're not doing anything.
Still.
You're just still. The Bible says that this virtuous woman, this good mother, does not eat the bread of idleness. The famous quote, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And idle means you're not doing anything. It means you're just wasting time. And the Bible tells us this woman is not an idle woman. She's very busy. She's not a busybody. What the Bible tells us a busybody is a gossiping woman that goes from house to house just gossiping. She's not a busybody. She's constantly accomplishing something. The Bible tells us that she's very busy. She doesn't go to bed early. The Bible tells us she wakes up early also. If you're going to be a good mother, you're going to have to be a hard worker. And let me explain something to you. Just because you don't work a job doesn't mean you shouldn't work. Does that make sense? You know, my wife is a stay-at-home wife, but she probably works harder than half the people who have a job, okay? And just because, and that goes for any, you know, you find yourself in a time, hey look, let me tell you something, when you get to the age of retirement, when you're 65 years old and you retire, that ought not be the last day you work. You know, just because you're not employed doesn't mean you shouldn't work. Everyone should work. Everyone should work. Let me say that one more time. Everyone should work. You say, well, I don't have a job right now. Okay, that's fine. You may not have a job, but that doesn't mean you stay at home, you know, laying in bed all day, sitting on the couch watching television all day, doing nothing, eating the bread of idleness. Just because you may not have a place where you click in and click out after 8 hours and get up and be productive. Get up and do something. Do something with your life. The only way you're going to find fulfillment in your life is when you accomplish something. The people that do nothing all day long are the people that are depressed, that are sad, that feel useless. Of course you feel useless. You've been sitting on the couch all day. Go mow the lawn. Go clean something. Go build something. Go soul winning. Amen. No, do whatever you're going to do, but do something. You know, you say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't work. No, you work. You ought to work. We should live a life of work whether we're employed or not. A good mother is a hard worker. Number three, look at verse 14. She's like the merchant's ship. Look what it says. She bringeth her food from afar. A good mother prepares food for her children. I know that sounds really basic stuff. But you know there used to be a day in our country when moms cooked meals and families ate dinner together? I know that's like out of the twilight zone today. But you know there used to be this place in a house called a dining room. And they had this weird thing in the middle of the dining room. They had a dining room table. And it was this weird contraption. It's like a piece of wood. Some of them are made out of glass, I think. And they're just like this round thing. And they've got these chairs. And sometimes mom will make dinner. And then she'll bring that food and distribute it in plates. And then the families will come together. And sometimes dad will sit at the head of the table. And mom will sit next to him. And the kids might just sit on the table. And guess what? The television's off. And there's no TV, there's no radio, and you say, what do they do while they're eating? Here's what they do. They conversate.
Wait a minute.
You guys are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. You know that the average family does not do that today? You know what the average family, you know how they eat dinner today? Here's how they eat dinner. They have a microwave TV dinner in front of the television. I don't even know what
else to do, because that's just what they do.
Look, if you're going to be a good mother, prepare meals for your family. Have time where you come together as a family. You may be surprised, the next time you have a meal with your family, you may be surprised that your boy has grown a little bit. A good mother prepares food for her children. Look at verse 15. She rises also, look what it says, while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maid. Who remembers from this morning what the word meat means?
The word meat in the Bible, what's it mean? You remember? What is it? Food. Yeah, there you go. Good. I heard somebody say food.
So you get the right answer. Huh? Food. But I want you to notice this. Look, this lady's not a lazy lady. She riseth also, look what it says, while it is yet night. What's that mean? She gets up.
She gets up before the sun gets up. She gets up while it's still dark outside. Let me just break it to some of you, because I don't know if some of you realize it. Do you know that the sun actually comes up gradually throughout the... It's not like a light switch where it just kind of turns on and it's day. It actually starts low and it comes up. You got to get up one day early and see it. It's an amazing thing. We have risen a generation of people and a generation of children that have never even seen the sun come up. Why? Because they sleep in all day long. Every day. Man, when I was in school, we had to be in school at like 7:15. Today, kids have to be in school at like 9:15. Raising a generation of lazy, and what goes hand in hand with laziness? Sleeping. What goes hand in hand with sleepiness? Being poor. I'm not going to preach this morning sermon, but, you know, get the CD. The Bible says, verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. Don't you notice this mother, this good mother, not only is she a hard worker, not only can her husband trust in her, not only is she a good wife, and a hard worker, and not only does she prepare food for her children, not only does she not sleep a lot, that's what verse 15 says. It says she rises also while it is yet night. That's what verse 18 says. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Do you understand? Let me just go back on that real quick. Do you understand what I'm saying? She gets up early and goes to bed late. she's up before her family's up, and she's the last one to go to bed. We don't have that today. But that's what a good mother is, according to the Bible. A virtuous woman. She doesn't sleep a lot. Look at verse 16. I hate sleeping a lot. I don't know if you know that. Maybe it's because I don't get to sleep as much as I'd like to. But look at verse 16. She considereth the field and buyeth it. A good mother is financially responsible. Let me tell you something. A good mother is financially irresponsible. The Bible says, here's the key word. She considereth a field. Verse 16, are you looking at it? She considereth a field and buyeth it. Notice it's not an impulse buy. Oh, I want it, so I'm going to get it. She considers. She looks into. She gets the best deal. She shops around. Look at verse 11 again.
Because you may have just overlooked this, but do you remember verse 11 where it says that the heart of her husband does safely trust in her? No, that's good. Amen. The heart of her husband should trust in her. But notice the context of how he trusts in her. Look what it says. Verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, comma, look what it says, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Do you know what the word spoil means? The word spoil is the word they would use like when you fight a battle and you win the battle and you get all those riches. They call that spoil. It says, the Bible says, her husband trusts in her, and because he trusts in her, he doesn't have any need of spoil. You know what it means? You know what that means? Let me tell you something. You know what's very common today in relationships? Where women will go out and spend a bunch of money and hide it from their husband. Where women will go and have these credit cards that the husband doesn't know about. I know, it sounds like this morning sermon. I'm preaching about finances again. But, you know, a virtuous woman, a good mother, a good wife, is going to be the type of person that her husband isn't worried. I wonder what, you know, when you say, your husband calls you every 15 minutes, where are you at? Are you near a mall? And whenever you say, you know, oh, I'm at the store, and he's just sweating bullets. Oh, man, I'm going to have to work some overtime. What is she doing? You know, your husband ought to be able to trust in you. You ought to be able to control yourself financially. Verse 16. She considered the field and buyeth it. Not only that, but look, she bought this field. Why? Look at what it says, verse 16, the last part of verse 16. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. So not only is she financially responsible, but this woman is also trying to help save money. Do you see that? She bought a field, and then what did she do with the field? She planted a vineyard. So what did she do? She plants like a little garden. She says to her husband, I considered a field. I shoved it off. I got the best field. And I bought this little parcel of land. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant a little garden. And that's going to help us with our grocery bills. That's what this woman is doing. She's helping her family save money. The Bible says she planted a vineyard. Let me tell you something. You know, sometimes people say to me, you know, you would have more money if your wife worked, you know. That's the idea today. You've got to have two incomes or you can't make it. And I understand that's the way the society wants to portray it. But let me tell you something, mother. You could be an asset at home to help your family save money. Do you know, let me tell you something right now. Do you know that it would actually cost me more money to send my wife out to work some part-time job somewhere than it is to have her home with my family? You say, why is that? Well, obviously there's the eternal value of raising children. But just forget about that. Think about the things that I would have to do if my wife was working. Okay? If she went to work, that means we wouldn't come home and there wouldn't be dinner. We'd be that family. There wouldn't be dinner at the table because guess what? I'm not cooking dinner. Unless you want to eat, you know, burnt toast every day. But here's what happens. The husband comes home from work and he's tired. And guess what? The wife comes home from work and she's tired. So who's cooking dinner? Well, let's go out to eat. Well, that's how you spend money. You know? Then I have to put my kids in daycare, which is going to cost money. Then I, you know, think about the value of a wife, okay? You've got a full-time cook. Imagine what it would take to pay someone to cook for you full-time. And then imagine the cost of cleaners to have someone launder your clothing for your entire family every month. I mean, do you get this type of service out at, you know, the Chinese organic cleaner down the street or whatever, you know? Where they wash your clothes, they dry your clothes, and they fold it. And they put it away. I don't think they do all that. You'd have to hire a housekeeper. You'd have to hire a professional chauffeur. I need a full-time secretary. And plus, I'm saving money on private school because I'm dead sure not sending my kids to public school. See, the value of a mother is actually pretty amazing. What do you think about it? Because the people that go to work, guess what? They need everything real quick. So, you know, they just go to Bel Air down the street, spend $400 on groceries that really could cost them $110 if they had a wife who had the time to go to Costco. Do you see what I'm saying? A mother is going to help the family save money, not spend all the money on online gambling or whatever she's doing to keep herself busy while the kids are in daycare all day. Save money. Help save money. So how do I help save money? Get this morning's sermon. It'll help you. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy.
A good mother is a giving person. Isn't it funny how consistent the Bible is? What was the sermon about this morning? How to make money and save money and all that. Why? So you could give. What does the Bible tell us here?
This woman is saving her family money, and then what does she do in verse 20? She stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's a giving person. She has the ability to help people. She has the ability to... You know what I love about... Let me just tell you something. I don't know if you understand this. But you know that my wife, almost every day of the week, I'm not even joking, is helping people in our church, giving them rides, you know, helping them get groceries, doing stuff for them on the internet. Almost every day of the week, she's doing... You know that she couldn't do that if I had her working somewhere? But here's what she's able to do. A good mother is able to stretch her hand out to the poor, is able to stretch her hand out to the needy, is able to give of her time, and give of herself, and give of her life, and be a blessing. And that's what Proverbs 31 woman is! Amen. A woman that helps her husband, helps save money, loves her children, is trustworthy, is giving of her time, giving of her finances. That's what it is, Mom. That's your job. Not only that, look at verse 21. A good mother is prepared. Look at verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with garland. You know all these people right now, I hear that every winter there's a drive, you gotta get jackets for children that are poor and they don't have jackets, they're gonna be cold. And I'm not against, you know, give your jacket to Sleep Train or whatever. This message was brought to you by Sleep Train. You know, make sure you give them your jacket. You know, that's fine, praise the Lord. But you know that a mother is gonna make sure that her kids are clothed? She's gonna be prepared. She's gonna realize, we're in spring, then summer, then fall, then guess what? Winter. I better start preparing for my children. She's a prepared woman. Verse 21. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with garland. Look at verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. A good mother, let me tell you something, a good mother takes care of her appearance. A good mother takes care of her appearance. The Bible tells us here that she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. You know that this husband of this woman in Proverbs 31 doesn't come home and, you know, find his wife in pajamas that she's been in all day with her hair all undone and goes to kiss her and is like, oh, you haven't brushed your teeth. You know, that's not the virtuous woman. I thank God that no matter, you know, my work schedule is all off all the time. Sometimes I'm home at 1 p.m., sometimes I'm home at 9 p.m., but you know that it doesn't matter what time of the day I come home, whether I call my wife or not. You know, I love coming home, and no matter what time it is in the day, and I come home, my wife is just dressed, showered, her hair done, makeup done. My kids have clean clothes on, they're dressed, they're ready. You know, I don't just come home and it's like, they just made my... You know, that's the problem with homeschool. You know, that's one of the issues that homeschool families have. They just sit around in their pajamas all day, and let me tell you something. The way you're dressed is going to affect the way you act. And if you just sit around in your pajamas all day, you're going to act lazy all day. You better have a time set aside every day where you get up and you wash your face and you brush your teeth, you put some clothes, you say, well, we're not doing anything today. It doesn't matter. Get up. Get dressed. Take some, you know, respect for yourself and say, hey, I'm going to look nice today. You know, often I'll come home and I'll see my wife dressed and I'll say, oh, are you going somewhere? She says, no. You know, I like that. She's getting dressed for me. At least I hope she was. But that's what Proverbs 31 woman is. Look at verse 24. She maketh fine linen. Verse 22. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Yeah, you know, that's a Proverbs 31 woman. She's a virtuous woman. She takes care of her appearance. You know, let me just break it to you, okay? No one wants to be married to the bag lady. Say, who's the bag lady? I always heard preachers, there was this preacher I grew up with, he always talked about the bag lady. And I always like, who's the bag lady? And then I went to Food for Less Number. And I saw the bag lady. And if you don't know who the bag lady is, just go to Food for Less. She's probably there.
Or the bag lady.
Hey, getting close. you know, get dressed. Get ready. Do something. Where are we? You guys are taking me. A good mother, point number, I don't know what number we're on, 10? A good mother has self-confidence and purpose. Look at verse 25. Proverbs 31:25. Look what it says. Proverbs 31:25. Look what it says. I love this. Strength and honor are her clothing. Now, the Bible just told us that obviously she has nice clothing. But then it tells us strength and honor are her clothing. And she shall rejoice at the time to come. Let me tell you something. A good mother is self-confident in her purpose. I get sick and tired of these women trying to make people, you know, these stay-at-home moms, and they look down on them like, oh, you're just a stay-at-home mom. You don't have a career. Let me tell you something. The most important thing you can be doing is raising your children. Amen and amen. And the most important thing you can be doing is guiding your house and leading your family. And this virtuous woman, she doesn't, you know, say, oh, I wish I was free, and I wish I didn't have a husband, and I wish that I could go and, you know, burn my bra and go be the CEO of some. She, look, the Bible says she's submissive, she's loving, she's trying to help save money, and then it tells us in verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's not beating herself up, she's not depressed, she's not sad, she has self-confidence, she has purpose in life. And by the way, that's where the purpose in life comes. Adam and Eve had the best thing going for them in the Garden of Eden, and when they messed that up, God says to Adam, go work, and he says to Eve, go raise children. Because that's where you'll find fulfillment. Let me tell you something, men, you find fulfillment in work. And women, you find fulfillment in raising children. Period. That's what the Bible says. She's self-confident. Number 11, look at verse 26. A good mother is careful with her words. Look at verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. We talked about this before, but God describes a woman that she should be an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. This is not some loudmouth woman that doesn't know when to shut her mouth. The Bible says she does not open her mouth without first filtering what she's going to say. She openeth, look what it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. When her mouth is opened, it's because she's getting ready to say something very wise. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. The law is what shows us what we, you know, this is what this means. This woman is an example. This woman is an example to her children. Her children say, you know, you want to know what kindness is? Just listen to my mom talk. You want to know what wisdom is? Just listen to my mom talk. Because when she opens her mouth, it's opened with wisdom. It's opened with kindness. She filters what she said. Let me tell you something. Today we have raised a generation of women who are just trying to be like men. Today we have raised a generation of women who, you know, it's a sad statement when children today learn curse words, four-letter words, and you say, where did you learn that? They'll say, my mom. I heard my mom say it. You know, they'll say filthy, perverse things. They'll be flirting and fornicating, you know. And today, you know, I've known children who their mother got them on smoking marijuana. Their mom got them on drugs. Their mom exposed them to alcohol. Their mom exposed them to fornication. Their mom exposed them to walk around acting like some sort of a whore and acting like, you know, and flirting with guys. And they learned it from their mom. Boy, have we got it messed up. Mom, your job is to be an example. Your job, when your children see you, they ought to see meek and quiet. They ought to see wisdom. They ought to see a law of kindness coming out of your mouth. You're an example. Bible says, verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I want to just show you a couple more things. A good mother will be praised. Look at verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall, look what it says, she shall. It doesn't say she might. It says she shall be praised. Do you see that? A mom that does her job and follows these steps that God gives us, in verse 28 tells us, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And he praises her. Let me tell you something. A virtuous woman, a good mother, according to Proverbs 31, will have children who will stand up and say, man, you know what? My mom may not have been perfect. My mom may not have been everything she needed to be. But I'll tell you, she was a great mom. She was a great mother. And she loved her kids. And she loved her husband. You know, let me say something. I'm putting all sorts of people on the spot today. But you know what I love this testimony? And I can honestly say this from the bottom of my heart. That other than it just joking around, I can honestly say I've never seen my mom raise her voice to my dad. My entire life. Ask my sister. I'm not just saying that. That's the truth. Your parents are perfect. Of course they weren't perfect. But we ought to try to live a way, you know. You said, did your parents have problems? I don't know. I'm sure they did. Ask them or don't ask them. I don't know. But I never saw it. It never happened in front of me. I remember, you know, I go to people's houses, and their parents would be, I was a stranger, and they were fighting and cursing and throwing stuff, you know, in front of me. And we were like, well, that's normal. That's normal around here. Man, that's not the house I grew up in. Your parents were perfect? Of course they weren't perfect. But this is the example we're not, and today, you know, you will have children raise up and say, man, I love my mom. Man, I love my dad. Man, your children will rise up and call you blessed. Your husband also. He praises her. Look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou tells them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman... No, and don't skip through that verse. Look at verse 30. Favor is... This is what this woman is saying. This mother teaching her son. She says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. Keep in mind who's saying this. Who we're told wrote this is correct, and Solomon wrote it, and this is something his mom taught him. Think about who his mom was. Bathsheba. A very beautiful woman, according to the Bible. Which is why David looked at her and then committed adultery with her. And this woman, who was, the Bible tells us, was physically beautiful, said to her son, favor is deceitful, son, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's what a woman said. You know what women are taught to emphasize today? What they look like. You know what women are taught to emphasize today? The short skirt, the low, you know, cut blouse, you know, the way they look. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Look at verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, hold on a second. We know that this woman made things. We know that she sold things. The Bible tells us she made different silks and different things and she sold them. But she didn't have a job. So what is the Bible referring to when she says, let her works praise her in the gates? Remember what I told you about the gates? The gates of the city was where the men would sit and have the business. This woman had no place in the gates. But the Bible says that her own works praise her in the gates. What is that talking about? It's talking about this. This virtuous woman, this good mother, this woman, a Proverbs 31 woman, even though she doesn't have a position of authority, she doesn't have a position in the gates, guess what? She has a husband, and she's raised some boys that are going to grow up, and they're going to go to the gates, and her works are going to praise her at those gates. So even though, man, she doesn't have a position there, she doesn't have that authority there. She's not the pastor. She's not going to get up and preach. But maybe, bless God, one day she'll raise a son who has a preacher, who has a pulpit, and he'll say, hey, my mom was a good mom. Amen. Why? Because her children will raise her in the gates. Don't fall into the lie of this world that raising children is not very important and you should go get a job where you're less than anything. That's a lie out of hell. Bible says, give her of the fruit of her hands. And then her own works praise her in the gates. This is a virtuous woman. This is a good mother. Let me show you one more thing about her and we're done. Look at Proverbs 31, look at verse 10. You say, Pastor, can anybody fulfill all of that? I don't know, but you should try. I mean, I'm sure that we can't fulfill all of those roles all at the same time, but we can fulfill some of those roles
most of the time.
But look at verse 10. When this mother began to talk to her son, she said, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Isn't that interesting? She said, "I'm going to give you all these things. This is what you ought to be looking for in a mother for your children, son." But she begins by saying, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is above rubies." Let me tell you something. A good mother is very hard to find. A mother that meets all these qualifications, very hard to find. But hey, let me tell you something, Mom. If you would say, "Yeah, that's my goal. I'm going to be a Proverbs 31 woman." Let me tell you something. You're going to become a very valuable asset to your children. A very valuable asset to your husband. Because the Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Why can't we find her? For, the word "for" there means because. Because her price is far above rubies. You know why it's hard to find? Because she's very valuable. She's a very valuable mom. Very valuable mother. See, it's easy to be lazy. It's easy to live unrighteously. That's easy. That's what the world does. We want to live a cut above the rest. We want to try to be better. Why? So we can raise better children. So we can raise better family. I like what the Bible says about Daniel in the book of Daniel. He was found 10 times better than anyone else. That's what I want for my kids. I want people to look at my kids and say, those kids aren't perfect, but they're 10 times better than what this world offers. They're 10 times better than what's coming out of the public school right now. They're 10 times better than being raised by other people. That's what I want, and that's what I want for your kids. That's why we preach these sermons on the family. That's why we preach these sermons on finances. That's why we preach these sermons on getting right with God and getting the sin out of God. We preach that because we want you to be better. Higher ground. Always growing. Every year being just a little more like Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dearly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray you'd help us, all of us, to take these attributes. We understand that the context is teaching us about a virtuous woman. But I think that some of us men can take those applications and apply them in our lives. It might be nice for some of us men to learn to wake up early, go to bed late, not complain about it. Might be nice for some of us men to learn how to save some money, how to be loving, how to be kind, to have kindness come out of our lips. Might be nice for some of these kids to learn some character. Learn to get up early, get dressed for the day, work hard. Really, all these attributes could be preached to any of us. I pray you'd help all of us to attempt to be virtuous in our lives. In your precious name I pray. Amen.